Please join me now with the scripture lesson, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 2 through 5, and verse 10 through 12. And I will be reading from the New International Version. This is a text we have visited before, about 7 years ago. Let's read the passage once again. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The word of the Lord. The crowd, the crew, the Christ. As you know, Ebenezer, the new cameras have been installed in the sanctuary. Last Sunday for the musicale, we shifted from using a computer to videotape worship to using the new cameras. And I tell you, it was quite a feat. We had some glitches with the audio, but we're trying to work them out. And we are grateful to Brother Albert Walker for his generosity and support. We're also grateful to the Reverend Torrance Spears and Deacon Oliver Street for their technical assistance. I mention the cameras because they give us more flexibility for worship. The cameras swivel and have the capacity to zoom in and zoom out. We can see more of the sanctuary. We can see the choir loft. We can zoom in and capture the organist or a soloist, and we can zoom out and capture the choir or an ensemble. We have more options. What we see impacts how we experience worship. What we see also shapes our perspective. When we zoom out, we get more of an overall experience. And when we zoom in, we get special parts of the experience, and we need both. We need the larger overall experience, and we need the smaller, more focused experience in worship. And that's what I want us to experience from this passage in the Gospel of Mark. I want us, as we listen to the story, to get both the larger overall macro experience and the smaller zoomed in micro experience. Imagine that there is no written account of the story in Mark. Imagine that we are viewing the events from a camera on a drone, and the drone is hovering over a house in Capernaum. At first, when you see the view from the drone, you can't make things out. Then, as the camera zooms in a bit, you realize there is a crowd gathered at a small house in Capernaum. And you wonder about this huge crowd. Who are they? Why have they gathered? What's going on at the house? A reporter on the ground near the crowd fills in the details. The text says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. So this crowd has gathered at this small house in Capernaum because Jesus is back in town. It is a crowd filled with women and men who have come from all many different places to hear what Jesus has to say. Jesus has come back to Capernaum. Mark says he's come back home to Capernaum after spending many days providing ministry to the people. Jesus, when he returns, has already healed Simon's mother-in-law. When Jesus returns home, he has already driven out evil spirits. He has already healed a man with leprosy, and he has already healed many of various diseases. Jesus has served so much and ministered so well that crowds follow him everywhere. The crowd has gathered at this house in Capernaum because of Jesus' reputation. As the drone zooms out, we notice that the crowd is filled with the old and the young, with the sick and the healthy, and later we'll discover just how mixed this crowd really is. The crowd has filled the house, and the crowd has spilled out of the door into the streets. It's a jam-packed crowd. And we notice that folk in the crowd are paying attention to Jesus. They are listening intently at his message. It's an overflowing crowd at this home in Capernaum. So the drone gives us the image of this huge crowd. When I drive by Franklin's Barbecue and sometimes wonder why folks stand in line, now they're waiting in their cars for the food, I have to remind myself before I become critical of the folks standing in the line for barbecue, I have to remind myself about Lim's Barbecue Restaurant in Chicago. It's one of my favorite barbecue restaurants in the country. And Lim's is always crowded. And I have to remind myself that I have waited in line many times. This place where the restaurant is located looks old and greasy and dingy. There's only space inside for a single file line to form. You have to go in one way and out the same way. The customers and the staff are separated by thick plexiglass walls from the countertop to the ceiling. They don't want anybody to come in there and rob them. And the staff at Lim's are not concerned about niceties and courtesies. They don't say, "Hello, sir, may I help you?" No, it's "what you want," "what you want," or "did you order," or "next." That's the way they talk to you. But we take it when we go to Lim's because the rib tips, the slabs of ribs, the fried shrimp and the fried catfish are delicious. And so folk wait in line. And the line starts inside and spills onto the outside, right out the door, all around the restaurant. When you really want something, you'll wait in line. And when you really want to be present, you'll join the crowd. There's a crowd in Capernaum, gathered at a house, because Jesus is there. And from this larger picture, the drone hovering above enables us to see this overflowing crowd. Then the drone zooms in closer. And as the camera gets closer, we notice that some folk are standing still as if they are listening to Jesus. And some folk in the crowd are moving around. In fact, the more we zoom in, the better we see what's happening. Listen to the text. The Bible says, "Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on." Wow. Look at this. While the crowd is standing and listening to Jesus preach, four men are moving around trying to bring a paralyzed man to Jesus. And these four men are carrying this paralyzed man. And you know what that's like. They are carrying dead weight. Apparently, they are moving from one side to the other side, moving around the crowd in the hope of finding an opening in the crowd. But you know what happens. You know how crowds can be. Folk lock in place, and they won't let you get ahead of them, especially if they're in a crowd at a place or a venue where they really want to see what's happening or hear what's going on. They're not going to let you squeeze by them and get a better position than they have. And so these four men are moving about around the crowd, carrying this paralyzed man, trying to get in. We don't know who these men are. They could be family members. They could be close friends. They could be neighbors. They could be random strangers, some compassionate folk who notice the man and decide to do something about it. They could be a combination of all of those, but I'll call them the crew. The paralyzed man has a crew working with him and working for him. And this crew is undaunted by this crowd. This crew is determined to get the man to Jesus. Sometimes, beloved, there are folk just standing around listening. And of course, listening is okay, but there are others who are working, trying to make something happen. And from the drone, we can see the crew scurrying around with the paralyzed man. And then we see something unusual. The crew begins to climb onto the roof with the paralyzed man in tow. And you know, that takes time. That takes effort. And that takes determination. When the crew gets on top of the house, they dig a hole in the roof. It's probably a thatch and mud roof. They dig a hole and lower the paralyzed man into the house in front of Jesus. What effort, what strength they display. They not only display strength to climb with the man on top of the roof, but they display strength to take the man and carefully lower him from roof level down onto the floor in front of Jesus. And what I can say about these men in this crew is these men are bold. They don't allow obstacles to get in the way of mission. If the mission calls for effort, they give effort. If the mission calls for sacrifice, they give sacrifice. Whoever these men are in this crew, one thing is certain. They care about the paralyzed man. The paralyzed man has a crew that doesn't give up. He has a crew that doesn't run out on you when the going gets tough. Beloved, make sure in your life you've got a crew. A crew of women, a crew of men, a crew of sainted Christians who will stick with you, who will pray with you, and who will come to your aid when necessary. You've got some fair weather friends out there who are only your friends when you're on top of the world and when everything is going your way. But then you've got some through thick and thin friends. Those are the kind of folk you need in your crew. This crew represents, I think, the church, because the church is called to be a crew for others. We're called to not only hear the word, listen to what Jesus has to say, but we are also called to be doers of the word. And while the crowd was standing there listening to Jesus preach, the church was moving around carrying out the mission of Jesus Christ. Make sure you've got a crew that will go beyond the call of duty. Now, I'm not much into rap music, but there is a song that I think fits the commitment of this crew. It was written by Will Smith, the actor, several years ago, and the song is entitled Potness. Not Partners, but Potness. And I like that song. Listen to what he says, and I'm going to try to give it a little something if I got a little something. It says, friends, how many of us have them? I'm talking about friends, ones we can depend on. I'm talking about a friend till the end, if I lose or if I win. If my was up, you still my friend? Yeah. Down for whatever, uh-huh. Tougher than leather, uh-huh. Like Run and D, you and me, together forever. That's right. Let's say we ballin', uh-huh. Somebody callin', uh-huh. Me and my man, what's up? We gon' be brawlin', yeah. Let's say we out, uh-huh. Something go down, uh-huh. 5-0 around, uh-huh. You still around? True that. Ever since I was younger, uh-huh, kinda always had a hunger, uh-huh, for a fairy tale friend, uh-huh, kinda like your brother, uh-huh, every time I go out, uh-huh, every time I turn around, uh-huh, ain't gotta run around, uh-huh, what the brother doing now, uh-huh, you've been my friend from beginning to end, we flowing, know where we going, cause Lord, we know we've been through the storm, before the calm, life might drop a bomb, cause Jazzy, we got a bond, like we was in Vietnam, everybody need a partner, to stand right by their side, not only through the good times, but also through the bad times. Everybody need a partner to stand right by their side, not only through the good times, but also through the bad times. Now, I might have butchered it, but you get the message. This paralyzed man had some partners. I call them his crew, and they carried him onto the roof and placed him before Jesus. The drone is hovering overhead, and for the first time, the drone zooms into the house and captures a glimpse of Jesus. Now, he's been in the house. He's been preaching, but we couldn't see him. The crew not only gets the man to Jesus, but by opening the roof, the crew opens the view for the rest of us. We can zoom into the house and get a close-up of the Christ and the paralyzed man. The text says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And then he goes on to say, so he said to the man, I tell you, get up. Take your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of all of them. This amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. Look at this story. Jesus notices the faith of these four men, the men in the crew. And Jesus is impressed with their faith. And why does Jesus call it faith? Their bold actions suggest faith. They would not have gone through the trouble if they did not believe Jesus could help the man. Jesus is impressed by their faith, not the man's faith. We all need some praying friends and some praying family members. Sometimes we are not in the position, whether physically or mentally or spiritually, to pray for ourselves. If you have a stroke, you might not be able to pray. If you're in a coma, you might not be able to pray. If you're in surgery, you might not be able to pray for yourself. We need sometimes prayer by proxy. We need somebody else to pray for me. That's why we sing that song. Somebody prayed for me. Had me on their mind, took the time to pray for me. Sometimes we're sustained by the faith of other people. Sometimes when we can't pray, others can pray for us. Every time, this is no my paper, I talk with my godmother. She says to me, baby, I pray for you every day. And I think her prayers are sustaining me. Jesus is impressed with the faith of this crew. The man gets to Jesus because of their faith. And listen to what Jesus tells the man. He says, your sins are forgiven. Now, we know that this crew doesn't bring this man to Jesus because of his sin. We know they bring this man to Jesus because they want healing for the man. But Jesus goes to the man's spiritual condition. Perhaps Jesus knows that there's some connection between sin and wholeness. Perhaps Jesus wants to send the message, you can be whole in body, but if you're not whole in your spirit, you're not completely whole. But I think the larger picture is Jesus is sending a message to the crowd. You see, when the camera zooms closer, we discover how mixed this crowd really is. We discover from the story that some of the religious leaders are there. They're not there to listen to Jesus preach. They're not there to support him. They are there to find out what he's doing wrong according to the law. So in this crowd, there are supporters and there are detractors. There are folk who are eager to take in what Jesus has. And there are folk who are there to pick apart what Jesus has to say. And Jesus knows it. And he says it anyway. Jesus asserts his divine authority. He knows who he is. And he even knows what his detractors are thinking. He knows that they're sitting over there saying, who does he think he is? Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus, learning what they're thinking, says to the leaders, the religious leaders, which is easier, to forgive sins or to say, take up your bed and walk? Which is easier, to pronounce a healing or to forgive a person's sins? Jesus is making the point that both are equally impossible for men, and both are equally possible for God. There are some things that only God can do. And so then Jesus says to the man, get up, take up your mat and go home. And the man gets up, takes his mat and walks out. The Bible says in view of all of them. From the drone and the camera zooming into the house, we can see the healing. From the drone, we can see the crowd move apart as the man walks out carrying his mat. Sometimes you gotta zoom in and see what Jesus can do. Because of Jesus, the man stands up and walks home. And what I like about it is he carries his mat. He's no longer dependent. You see, helping folk is not about leaving them in the same situation. Sometimes we want to move somebody to a new venue, but leave them in the same situation. Helping folk is not about leaving them dependent. It's about finding a way to help them stand on their own feet and make them dependent. The lesson is, get folk to Jesus. The lesson is, center upon Jesus, so Jesus can send you home whole. The lesson is, when you get to the right person, you get what you really need. If you want to get what you need to get to the right person. I love Max Lucado. He's a Christian minister and a prolific author. And I like his story entitled, You Are Special. And perhaps I've shared it with you before, but let me share it with you again. In this story, You Are Special, we are told about some wooden people called the Wemmicks. And each of the wooden people was carved by a woodworker named Eli. His workshop sat on a hill overlooking their village. Every Wemmick was different. Some had big noses, Others had large eyes. Some were tall and others were short. Some wore hats, others wore coats. But all were made by the same carver, and all lived in the village. And all day, every day, these Wemmicks did the same thing. They gave each other stickers. Each Wemmick had a box of golden star stickers and a box of gray dot stickers. And up and down the streets all over the city, the Wemmick people could be seen sticking stars or sticking dots on one another. The pretty ones, those with the smooth wood and fine paint, always got stars. But if the wood was rough or the paint chipped, the Wemmicks gave out dots. The talented ones got stars too. Some could lift big sticks high above their heads or jump over tall boxes. Still others knew big words and could sing very pretty songs. Everyone gave them stars. Some Wemmicks had stars all over them. Every time they got a star, it made them feel so good that they did something else and got another star. Others, though, could do little. They got dots. And one of the Wemmicks that got dots was Punchinello. He got dots all the time. He tried to jump high like the others, but he always fell. And when he fell, the others would gather around and give him more dots. Sometimes when he fell, it would scar his wood, so the people would give him more dots. He would try to explain why he fell and say something silly, and the Wemmicks would give him more dots. After a while, he had so many dots that he didn't want to go outside anymore. He was afraid he would do something dumb, such as forget his hat or step in the water, and then the people would give him another dot. In fact, Punchinello had so many gray dots that some people would just come up to him and give him one without reason. He deserves lots of dots. The wooden people would agree with one another. He's not a good wooden person. After a while, Punchinello believed them. I'm not a good Wemmick, he would say. The few times he went outside, he only hung around the other Wemmicks who had a lot of dots. He felt better around them. But one day, he met a Wemmick who was unlike any he'd ever met before. She had no dots or stars. She was just wooden. Her name was Lucia. And it wasn't that the people didn't try to give her stickers. It's just that the stickers didn't stick. Some admired Lucia for having no dots, so they would run up and give her a star, but it would fall off. Some would look down on her for having no stars, so they would give her a dot, but it wouldn't stay either. That's the way I want to be, thought Punchinello. I don't want anyone's marks. So he asked the stickerless Wemmick how she did it. She said, easy. Every day I go to see Eli. Eli, she said, yes, Eli, the wood carver. I sit in the workshop with him. Why? Why don't you find out for yourself? Lucia said, go up the hill. He's there. And with that, the Wemmick with no marks turned and skipped away. And Punchinello said to himself, but he won't want to see me. Lucia didn't hear him. So Punchinello went home. He sat near a window and watched the wooden people as they scurried around, giving each other stars and dots. It's not right, he muttered to himself. And he resolved to go see Eli. He walked up the narrow path to the top of the hill and stepped onto the big shop. His wooden eyes widened at the size of everything. The stool was as tall as he was. He had to stretch on his tiptoes to see the top of the workbench. A hammer was as long as his arm. Punchinello swallowed hard. I'm not staying here. And he turned to leave. And then he heard his name. Punchinello. The voice was deep and strong. Punchinello stopped. Punchinello, how good to see you. Come and let me have a look at you. Punchinello turned slowly and looked at the large bearded craftsman. You know my name? The little Wemmick said. Of course I do. I made you. Eli stooped down and picked him up and set him on the bench. The maker spoke thoughtfully as he inspected the gray circles. Looks like you've been given some bad marks. I didn't mean to, Eli. Punchinello said, I tried really hard. Oh, Eli said, you don't have to defend yourself to me, child. I don't care what the other Wemmicks think. You don't? Punchinello said, no. And you shouldn't either, said Eli. Who are they to give stars or dots? They're Wemmicks just like you. What they think doesn't matter, Punchinello. All that matters is what I think. And what I think is, you're pretty special. Eli looked at Punchinello, put his hands on those small wooden shoulders, and spoke very slowly. And he said, because you're mine, that's why you matter to me. Punchinello had never had anyone look at him like this, much less his maker. He didn't know what to say. Every day I've been hoping you'd come, Eli said. I came because I met someone with no marks, Punchinello said. I know. She told me about you, Eli said. Why don't the stickers stay on her? And Eli said, because she has decided that what I think is more important than what they think. The stickers only stick if you let them. What? The stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you care about the stickers. I'm not sure I understand, Punchinello said. You will, but it will take time. You've got a lot of marks on you. From now on, just come to see me every day. And let me remind you how much I care about you. Eli lifted Punchinello off the bench and set him on the ground. Remember, Eli said, as Punchinello walked out the door, you are special because I made you, and I don't make no mistakes. Punchinello didn't stop, but in his heart, he thought he really means it. And when he said that, the dots fell off him and fell to the ground. What am I saying with this story? I'm saying that when you get to the right person, you get everything you need. The paralyzed man was taken to the right person. He was taken to Jesus. Somebody else in the crowd might not have cared about him. Somebody else in the crowd might not have been willing to help him out. But somebody cared enough to take him to Jesus. And when he got to Jesus, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Jesus said, get up, take up your mat, and walk home. You've got to get, beloved, to the right person. And the right person is Jesus Christ. That's why I like that song, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. Healed my body and told me to run on. He healed my body and told me to run on. Healed my body and told me to run on. He's my friend. The crowd, the crew, and the Christ. Get to the right person, and the right person is Jesus. God bless you, beloved.
As we prepare for the Lord's Supper, won't you get your elements together, your wine, your juice, and your crackers? And while you're doing that, please join me in a verse of Jesus, keep me near the cross.
Jesus, keep me cross. There are precious mountains free to all a healing stream flows from Calvary's cross, in the
writing to the church at Corinth says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. O God, we come to ask your blessings upon the cup and your body. We pray that you will bless and consecrate these elements, that as we receive them today, they will be nourishment for our souls. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.